Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Friend, a part of the work of the church is to edify. Self-edification is one of the works the church is to perform in service to God. Now, the plan of our lesson is to first cite scriptures that call for this edification. And we shall observe that it is something that is commanded. And then we shall learn what it means to edify, and what is its purpose, why do it, and how is it to be done. And we must give emphasis and the importance and the necessity of edification, and consider some of the things that help, and some of the things that hinder the success of this work. But first to certain scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 14:12, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. 1 Corinthians 14:16, let all things be done unto edifying. In Romans 14 and verse 19, let us therefore follow after things wherewith one may edify another. In Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, when persecution of the church was eased temporarily, the church is said to have been edified. There are just numerous passages calling for the edification of the church, mostly, but not exclusively, to be found in the epistles. Well, what does it mean to edify? Well, there are several very related definitions. Basically, it means to build up, Acts 20, verse 32, to build on a foundation that may have been laid by others. It means to carry on instruction begun by others, going on after a beginning, a rebuilding, a restoring, a repairing, a recovering. To edify is to promote Christian wisdom in others. That is, to help each other to live lives acceptable before God, with grace and affection and piety, respect for authority, obedience and holiness and virtue. To edify is to strengthen. It is to better equip. It is to make ready and to comfort and to encourage. It's to help others improve spiritually. To edify is to gain spiritual growth and to increase faith. And this includes warnings and corrections and rebuking, preventing evil, advising, instructing, teaching, admonishing, establishing, not in the sense of bringing into existence, but to stabilize, to settle, to make firm, to ground. Edifying means training and explaining and exhorting and motivating. It's urging progress in pursuit of a certain course and a certain goal. To edify is to stimulate and to put knowledge into the mind by communication. It involves bringing things to remembrance that have already been learned. It means keeping the face toward a certain way and toward a certain direction, rendering constant and placing firmly the goal that you have in mind. Now, we enter into the family of God as babes, having been born again. As in the physical realm, so we must grow. The scriptures teach the Christian is to spiritually grow. The work of edification implies the necessity of that growth. Friend, we cannot enter into the service of God and lay down. We must move forward, always, of course, within the boundaries and the authority of the doctrine of Christ, but ever growing. Babes must grow. The weak must be strengthened. The wayward must be recovered. All of us must be prepared. To edify is to learn to overcome whatever might subvert us. Baptism is the beginning of our walk with God in Christ. Then there's a life to be lived, to be lived in the imitation of Christ. Having become a Christian, we must go on toward perfection, toward maturity and wholeness and completeness. Edification implies there is a work involved. It is accomplishing this growth, That's what edification is. Edification is providing for the growth that is necessary of the babe who has come to Christ. And in what are we to grow? We're to grow in the grace of Christ, 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. We're to grow in Christ's likeness with the mind or the attitude of Christ, Philippians 2, Ephesians 4. We're to grow in love and discernment, Hebrews 5. The greater the growth of a Christian, the better equipped he is to know the difference between right and wrong, and to make righteous decisions in this life. We are to grow in Christian character, 2 Peter chapter 1. We must grow in faith and love, 2 Thessalonians 1. You see, growth is needed to resist temptation, James 4. Growth is needed to serve and to sacrifice properly, Romans chapter 12. This whole matter of edification, it's a process of being more and more what we have professed to have become. Edification may well be a work that many have neglected. At least there is some evidence to suggest as much. Consider the loss of many who are baptized, even the loss among our own young. Consider the evident lack of biblical knowledge among members of the church. Most any adult Bible class is indicative of this sad truth. Possibly too many have emphasized such things as better buildings than better members. And while we spend much time and effort to convert the child of the devil to the Lord, and this we must do, maybe too little effort is given to making the convert a strong child of God. Could we have been seeking quantity at the expense of quality? You see, the work of edification is a work. It's a work of elders, but not elders exclusively. Are we not our brother's keeper? Should not all of us have a personal concern for souls, especially those of the household of faith? Edification is mutual action toward each other. But to edify, we must have knowledge. We must prepare ourselves to teach others. And unless we busy ourselves to do this work, the work will continue to lag and be neglected, and the result will be even more and more of those who will fall away. Now, why is edification so important? Well, already we have touched on why edification is so important, but more should be said. To measure the importance of edifying, let us ask how important it is for you and for me to grow and mature, to stand, to prevent sin, and to overcome temptation. How important it is for us to be Christ-like and to be faithful, and to prevent ourselves from being tossed to and fro. Now, when we see edification in this light, we see edification is essential to the ultimate goal of reaching heaven. But there are some things that hinder this work. Good fruit is born when edification is conducted faithfully and properly. But wickedness among the members of the church will tear down faster than others can build up. A hardened heart, one who is dull of hearing and rebellious and defiant, determined to go their own way, the truth notwithstanding, this hinders the work of edification. As all can readily understand, sin in the church, it is detrimental, and that's because sin is so deceitful. Foolish and unlearned questions can cause strife, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 23, and so can the love of money, 1 Timothy 6. Ignorance, failure to search the Scriptures, following pet theories and opinions and hobbies and a love of this world, all of these things uproot the profit of edification. But there are things that help. Edification is assisted when we have a real concern for each other, when we realize the worth of every soul. Diligent watchfulness on the part of elderships, preachers who preach sound doctrine with a certain sound, members with a clean and pure heart, keeping peace among brethren that is founded on truth, this helps the work of edification. Nobody likes needless disturbance, and nothing is so offensive to the world than wrangling Christians and hypocrites. But knowledge of the book, with personal responsibility, faithfulness of example, all such things as that advance the work of edification. And how is this work to be done? One might present an overriding principle of which we can read in Ephesians 4 and verse 15. It is done by speaking the truth in love. We edify correctly by relying upon the written word, 2 Peter chapter 3. Preaching the gospel just as the gospel is revealed. Naturally, with the increase of our love one for the other, the world will know that we are the disciples of the Lord, John 13:35. Friend, I suggest to you it should be the goal and ambition of every Christian to be a good role model for those round about him. Now, this is not to say that we should present ourselves in a self-righteous manner, but our deeds and our words should be harmonized. Good examples carry tremendous influence. We should so live that we can say to others, "Do as you see me do." Now, none would ever contend that we shall be a perfect role model. Christ was the perfect role model. But as we imitate Christ, we're showing to those near us what it is to be a real Christian. And that's a part of the work of edifying. So to summarize, seeing that edifying is a divinely given command to Christians, and that it is something that involves our fellowship and our relationship to each other, now knowing somewhat better what it is, what it accomplishes, observing its fruits, and certainly being impressed with the essential nature of it, let us be about the task. We know what hinders the work, but we also know what promotes the work, and we know how it is to be done. So where do we go from this point? Certainly, among other things, as children of God, we should edify one another. Even this lesson is doing that work. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.